With over 110 million copies of his novels in print, David Baldacci is one of the most widely read, best-selling storytellers in the world. His novel, Absolute Power, was made into a film with Clint Eastwood, and two characters from his novels headed up a television series. Additionally, along with his wife, Michelle, he is co-founder of a nonprofit organization, Wish You Well, dedicated to supporting literacy efforts in America. He joins us by phone tonight to talk about his latest novel, Memory Man. David Baldacci, I'm delighted to welcome you back to Around Cincinnati.
Well, thank you very much.
The title of your latest book, Memory Man, gives us a big clue to this complex new character you've created. So would you tell us who Amos Dekker is and what makes his brain so unique?
He was an NFL football player for one play, and he was on the kickoff team and got just leveled and suffered a brain trauma and actually died on the field. And they brought him back and found out that his brain had been transformed, and now he has a condition called hyperthymesia, which is literally translated from Greek, meaning excessive memory. He has total recall, can't forget anything. He also has synesthesia, which is his sensory capacities have been commingled. So, for instance, he can see numbers in color. And, you know, it changed who he was. His total personality, which is also driven by the brain, changed. So this outgoing, gregarious, prankish football player became sort of aloof and withdrawn and lacked social cues and social skills. He married and became a police detective and had pretty much gotten his life back together for the most part, as much as he possibly could. And then he came home from work one night and his family had been slaughtered. And he spiraled out of control, lost his job, became homeless, just sort of crazy. And pulled himself up back a little bit, became a private investigator, and then the whole nightmare is brought back to him because a guy walks into the police station and confesses to murdering his family, and that really is the catalyst for the novel.
I was fascinated with these medical conditions that you've introduced, though I believe at one point there is talk about his mannerisms, his behavior being similar to Asperger's syndrome,
right,
which is something we hear a lot about these days. I'm curious as to what got you interested in these hyperthymesia and synesthesia conditions, and was there a fair amount of research involved with writing about them?
There was a lot of research, because I didn't want to fudge this. I wanted to understand it. I've been fascinated by the brain. I look at the world a little bit differently, too, with the sort of work that I do, and I have sort of a cocked prism where I see things in the world that maybe other people may not notice. And I derive stories from that by adding a little bit of piece here and there and commingling facts and experiences and ideas that I have. But the brain is the most powerful tool we'll ever have. Your mind can imprison you if you have OCD or you have an eating disorder or you have a phobia of some sort. It can stop you from doing things even though you know logically you can do it without suffering any harm at all. But your brain is so powerful, it imprisons you. So that's always fascinated me. And then having someone who was normal for the most part and then becoming a different person because their brain had been changed because of a trauma. That, for me, was fascinating because then I have so much more to explore in the character because the character has changed who he was. And I can explore both his backstory of who he used to be and also going forward, what can he expect his future to be? And also with this great gift of having perfect recall, but also this albatross of having perfect recall, because how many things do most of us have in our memories that we would love to forget and we sort of bury in our subconscious and don't even think about? This guy doesn't have that option.
And while we're on research, there was some interesting information about mass murderers, which comes into play in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you also do research about that. For instance, you do write that most mass murderers are white and male.
Yeah, there's a lot of characteristics, and I've gone down to the FBI and the VICAP, which is a violent criminal apprehension program, mostly serial killers. I've learned a lot about that type of person, psychopath, sociopath, signature killings that they use, the motivations for why they do what they do. In this book, the killer has a certain thing that he does to the victims that sort of cues them what may be causing it. So there's a lot that goes into it. Again, this is the mind, and going to the mind of a sociopath is a very sort of chilling thing, but at the same time, people love to read books about them because they're like, this is a human being, but he's really not. So how did he get to be where he is? And people sort of say, my God, could I ever be something like that? What do I have this person doesn't have that's driving him to do what he does? And again, it comes down to the brain, the mind, the personality. And I've always found that endlessly fascinating because it's kind of like there for the grace of God. If I'm missing one inhibitor are a little bit of a chromosome, or my DNA is a little bit different, or I had horrific experiences growing up. Could I be a monster like that? I hope not. But it's that uncertainty, I think, that it really drives the curiosity.
Well, since you've introduced us to a new character, Amos Decker in Memory Man, I'm interested to talk about the characters in your book in general. And I must admit, I have a great fondness for those Kamel Club characters.
You're not alone.
What a interesting band of folks. So I'm interested to know what drives the creation of a new character for you as their creator. Do you sometimes see their similarities that connect them, or do you really think of them as distinct folks?
Sure, some of them share some commonalities. I mean, the Kamel Club is pretty unique, but King and Maxwell, Secret Service agent, investigators, John Puller is in the military, Will Roby works for the CIA, so they have those commonalities. But aside from that, they all sort of have unique backstories, why they came to be what they are, how they think and perceive things. So that's really my job as a writer, to create these distinctive characters and make them make sense to people based on what their backgrounds and upbringing were like and what their world perspectives are like. So it's fascinating because I get to create whole worlds and whole lives out of nothing other than my imagination. And Amos Decker was particularly challenging for me. I'd never written a character like him before, which is a good thing because I think if writers don't stretch, they tend to wither on the vine. And it was challenging, got me out of my comfort zone, and put me into a situation where I was fearing, can I pull this off? Can I write this guy so that he seems really real to people?
I believe that you've consulted with the CIA, with the FBI, in terms of them picking your brain around particular cases. Is this true?
Yeah, particularly after 9/11, agencies would reach out to fiction writers, and they did with me. And they would give me a scenario, like a doomsday scenario, blow up this, attack this place, and use your imagination to do it. And so I did some of those for them, and I would give them what I had come up with. Then their job was to sort of reverse engineer to make sure that whatever I had created could actually never happen. So it was kind of weird. You know, I remember what I did, and my kids were little back then, and they're grown now, but I remember sort of explaining it to my son, and he goes, so Dad, you're like one of the ones keeping America safe? And I said, yeah, well, I don't know, but, you know, I guess kind of like that. And he said, can I move to Canada? Got a good sense of humor.
Yes.
I'm like,
well, beside being a dad and a husband, you're something of an industry within yourself in that you obviously are a very successful novel writer. Films, television series have been made based on those. And you do a fair amount of charitable work. So I know you've co-founded Wish You Well with your wife, Michelle, to focus on promoting literacy. But I was also interested to read your support of the Multiple Sclerosis Society, yes? And what got you interested in that? What's your involvement?
I've done the walks. I've done PSAs. I've sat on boards, helped raise money, given money myself to it. My sister has MS and has had MS for over 25 years. And a very close friend of mine also has MS as well and has had it for just about as long. So I've seen it. You know, it's a terrible disease because it treats people differently. So people can go a long way and have very little interruption to their normal lives. Other people are debilitated rather quickly. You're talking about myelin being eroded away from electrical impulses in your body and things going haywire. It affects everybody differently, which makes it difficult, one, to diagnose and also, two, to treat because everyone is so different. So that's my interest.
Do tell us before we go, what's next? Can you give us a little tip
Absolutely.
On what's coming next?
I'm working on a couple of books now. I have a young adult series. The first one was The Finisher. The second is called The Keeper, and it'll be out in September. And I'm working on the third installment of that now. Thriller-wise, I'm almost done with a book called The Guilty. It'll be out in November of this year, and it's a new Will Roby. So you'll see Will Roby visiting a place he's never visited before. So I'm excited.
David, it's delightful to talk with you. Thanks so much for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you.
I've been talking with David Baldacci about his latest novel, which is titled Memory Man. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.